Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study Judges chapter 21. And in Judges chapter 21, you have this really interesting account of obtaining wives for the remaining men that survived the battle against Benjamin. And I don't think you'll find anything like this anywhere else in the Bible, and you're not going to find much like this anywhere else in history. I'm not acquainted with everything, obviously, that's happened with a lot of things. Maybe this is not such an unusual thing, but it sure seems to be. Read with me in Judges chapter 21. It makes interesting reading, and truly you ought to know this passage of Scripture if you've not ever studied it before. Judges chapter 21, verse 1, "Now the men of Israel had sworn in Mizpeh, saying, There shall not any of us give his daughter unto Benjamin to wife. And the people came to the house of God, and abode there till even before God, and lifted up their voices, and wept sore, and said, O Lord God of Israel, why is this come to pass in Israel, that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel? And it came to pass on the morrow that the people rose early and built there an altar and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the children of Israel said, Who is there among all the tribes of Israel that came not up with the congregation unto the Lord? For they had made a great oath concerning him that came not up to the Lord to Mizpeh, saying, He shall surely be put to death. And the children of Israel repented them for Benjamin their brother, and said, There's one tribe cut off from Israel this day. How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them of our daughters to wives? And they said, What one is there of the tribes of Israel that came not up to Mizpeh to the Lord? And behold, there came none to the camp from Jabesh-Gilead to the assembly. For the people were numbered, and behold, there were none of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead there. And the congregation sent thither 12,000 men of the valiantest, and commanded them, saying, Go and smite the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword, with the women and the children. And this is the thing that ye shall do. Ye shall utterly destroy every male and every woman that hath lain by man. And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins that had known no man by lying with any male. And they brought them unto the camp to Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. And the whole congregation sent some to speak to the children of Benjamin that were in the rock Rimmon, and to call peaceably unto them. And Benjamin came again at that time, and they gave them wives which they had saved alive of the women of Jabesh-Gilead, and yet so they sufficed them not. And the people repented them for Benjamin, because that the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. Then the elders of the congregation said, How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing the women are destroyed out of Benjamin? And they said, There must be an inheritance for them that be escaped of Benjamin, that a tribe be not destroyed out of Israel. Howbeit, we may not give them wives of our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn, saying, Cursed be he that giveth a wife to Benjamin. Then they said, Behold, there's a feast of the Lord in Shiloh yearly, in a place which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goeth up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south side of Labona. Therefore they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, Go and lie in wait in the vineyards, and see, and behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in dances. Then come ye out of the vineyards, and catch you every man his wife of the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin. And it shall be, when their fathers or their brethren come unto us to complain, that we shall say unto them, Be favorable unto them for our sakes, because we reserved not to each man his wife in the war. For you did not give unto them at this time that you should be guilty. And the children of Benjamin did so, and took them wives according to their number, of them that danced, whom they caught, and they went and returned unto their inheritance, and repaired the cities, and dwelt in them. And the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe and to his family, and they went out from thence, every man to his inheritance. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, what you've just read in this passage of Scripture is very, very interesting. I mean, like I said, can you imagine something like this going on today? It's just, it's incredible to imagine it. Nevertheless, it really happened, and it took care of a major problem in Benjamin. You see, the war against Benjamin in Judges chapter 20 was so thorough that all the tribe of Benjamin was destroyed, except for the 600 men that abode in the rock Rimmon. Back there in Judges chapter 20, when you find out that 26,100 soldiers have been killed in the battle, what you don't realize, but you kind of get an idea about, and you know for sure in the next chapter, you don't realize that their wives have been killed, and their children have been killed, and there's nobody left except for 600 men that fled to the wilderness under the rock Rimmon and abode in the rock Rimmon 4 months. That's Judges chapter 20, verse 47. So you got this situation in Israel. They're like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Because the rest of Israel realized that the tribe of Benjamin would become extinct if these 600 men remained unmarried. And they're trying to figure out, what are we going to do? You see, the trouble was that the other tribes of Israel, the ones that fought against Benjamin, had a vow. And the vow was that they would not give their daughters in marriage to any man in Benjamin. So they're stuck. Here's Benjamin, 600 guys, they have no wives, and there's an oath taken among the rest of the men that fought, we're not going to give them our daughters to wife. Cursed be the man who does. Now you really have a tribe that is facing extinction in Israel, because if those men cannot procreate, then they die off and that's it. I mean, that battle was thorough. I mean, they beat them down to just a nub, nearly to annihilation. So they had to figure out other ways to get wives for these men, and that's what this chapter is about in Judges chapter 21. The first thing they did is they gave them virgins from Jabesh-Gilead. And listen, this in itself seems to be a strange thing, but when Israel gathered themselves together at Mizpah and decided they were going to fight against Benjamin, they wanted to encourage all the tribes to go into this fight. They didn't want anybody holding out, and so they made a deal in verse 5. And in verse 5, what they said is this: who is there among all the tribes of Israel that came not up to the Lord? For they had made a great oath concerning him that came not up to the Lord to Mizpah, saying, he shall surely be put to death. Well, they had not fulfilled that oath, in that they had not gone searching to see if there was somebody in Israel that should have come up that didn't come up. And so they say, so since we haven't executed the oath here to see if there's somebody that needs to die, what we need to do is we need to go around and see if there was anybody missing. And they did. In verse 8, what one is there of the tribes of Israel that came not up to Mizpah to the Lord? And behold, there came none to the camp from Jabesh-Gilead to the assembly. You see, you had somebody there to muster the troops. And when he mustered the troops, he said, okay, we've got the folks from Bethel, okay, check. Got the folks from Shechem, check. Got the folks from, you know, all the various cities that were there in Israel, men from Jerusalem, yep, check. Check them all off like that. And so the guy that had mustered the troops knew where everybody had come from. It's like a roll call. And they said, you know what we're noticing here? Nobody came up from Jabesh-Gilead. You say, well, where's that? Jabesh-Gilead is on the east side of the Jordan River. And it's not located halfway between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Chinnereth or the Sea of Galilee, but it's located south of the Sea of Galilee, closer to the Sea of Galilee than it is to the Dead Sea. Let's say it's two-thirds of the way up to the Sea of Galilee from the Dead Sea, on the east side of the Jordan River. And when they found out that these men from Jabesh-Gilead had not come up to the war, they said, all right, hey, we got an idea. We'll go up there and kill him like we said we would. He shall surely be put to death. And we'll kill everything that belongs to him. However, if he has virgin daughters, we'll save him. So they sent, in verse 10, 12,000 men of the valiantest, and commanded them, say, go and smite the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead. Boy, don't you know that's got to be a tough execution? Because here you've won the war, here you've defeated your enemy, and now you're having mercy on the enemy, and you've got to get him some wives, and so you're going to go kill some of your own people, but you're going to kill him because they didn't fight with you in the war. That's a different generation. And I'm not saying that it's a better generation. You understand, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So this is a very crude way to accomplish the task, but it worked. And what they did is they went up there and fought against Jabesh-Gilead, and here are the instructions. Here's the battle plan. Judges chapter 21, verse 11, this is the thing ye shall do. Ye shall utterly destroy every male and every woman that hath lain by a man. And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins that had known no man by lying with any male, and they brought them unto the camp to Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. So they go over there to Jabesh-Gilead, and they kill every male, that is, little boy, baby boy, big boy, man, soldier, farmer, old man, whatever. All the men die, and all the women die who have known men by lying with them. And all that were left were 400 young virgins. Now there's 600 men that need wives. So when they give these 400 virgins to those 600 men, there are still 200 that need a wife. They still need 200 more for the other men. And so what happens is, they're like, what do we do? Well, the first thing they do with these 400 young virgins, they go to Shiloh, they get the men at Rock Rimmon, and they say, look, we've got some wives for you. We're here peaceably. Come down, get these women, and repopulate. Okay? And we'll go back and figure out what we're going to do for these other 200 guys. And so they say in verse 16, how shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing the women are destroyed out of Benjamin? And the problem is, they know that they cannot give them any of their own children, because they repeat in verse 18, cursed be he that giveth the wife to Benjamin. And somebody comes up with the bright idea, you know what? There's a feast in Shiloh. And at that feast in Shiloh, what happens is, these virgin daughters of the men of Shiloh come out and they dance in that feast sometime. Now, if the men of Benjamin would go and hide in the vineyards and wait there, if these daughters of Shiloh come out and dance, and we don't tell the men in Shiloh what we're up to, these men can run out there, grab a girl, and run off with her to the land of Benjamin, and then that way, when their fathers come out or their brethren come out and say, hey, what is up with this? They're complaining, like the Bible says in verse 22. Then we'll tell them, hey, look, be favorable unto them for our sakes, because we reserve not to each man his wife in the war. For you did not give unto them at this time that you should be guilty. And so that's exactly what happens. The daughters come out, they dance to the Lord in this feast. These 200 men are hiding in the bushes of the vineyards. They come running out. You can imagine the chaos in this deal. Grab each one a woman and take off running. It seems funny. I mean, it's making me laugh just to think about this. Can you imagine the screeching and the howling and the fear and the chaos, just utter confusion going on? These guys are running through there and catching these women and whatever, throwing them over their shoulders or whatever they got to do, and dragging them off to the land of Benjamin with all the screaming and hollering and let me go. And you can just imagine what that scene was. Nevertheless, they get them over there to the land of Benjamin, and sure enough, the fathers and brothers would come out. So, what have you done? They said, look, don't worry about it. Your daughters are not cursed, and neither are you, because you didn't give them to these men from Benjamin. They stole them. So you should be happy. You can't even imagine a situation where you got a church today, and just a bunch of guys there because of some horrible event. Their wives were all dead, and they go to a church where there are a bunch of young ladies, and they come running through there and just stealing these women and running off with them. You can just imagine the heartbreak on the part of the girls. Imagine the heartbreak on the part of the people when this happens, and yet that's how they repopulated Benjamin. That's how Benjamin survived from a bunch of people in Jabesh-Gilead that were killed, whose virgin daughters were married off, and from a bunch of girls that were dancing in a feast of the Lord who were stolen by the men of Benjamin. This is very unorthodox marriage arrangements here for 600 men. But you know something? You know what happened? Benjamin survived. And it's a good thing that Benjamin survived. You see, if you think about it, and there are other instances besides the ones I'm going to show you, but the very first king of Israel came from Benjamin. Look with me in 1 Samuel chapter 9. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, Israel had pled with the Lord, give us a king, give us a king, give us a king. Okay, all right. You know, God didn't want to do it. Samuel didn't want to do it, but the Lord allowed it. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, or Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Berotha, or Bechorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. It's an amazing thing. These guys are the 600 that survive, okay, and their offspring, a few years later, produce a mighty man of power who becomes the first king in Israel. Look at verse 2. He had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. So, Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, had a son whose name was Saul. Isn't that amazing? So the first king of Israel comes from this tribe. You know who else came from this tribe? The great apostle Paul. Now, interestingly, okay, the first king in Israel, right, is Saul. And the first great apostle besides the 12 is a fellow named Saul, who becomes this great apostle to the Gentiles. And thank God for him. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And look at verse 5. And you know what you read here? Is you read Paul kind of giving his credentials under the law. He said, these things really don't make any difference to me because I've got Christ. But he says this in Philippians 3:5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, a Pharisee. Saul, who later became Paul, would not have been there had this very unorthodox marriage arrangement not been carried out. It's a good thing that it was taken care of. Matter of fact, when the two southern tribes are separated and divided from the 10 northern tribes, it's Benjamin and Judah in the south that comprise the kingdom of Judah. Now, here's something else that's interesting. Not only was Saul from Benjamin, but Saul was also, and more specifically, from Gibeah. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. And look at verse 26. The Bible says, and Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. So he went back home to Gibeah. Now, you know what's interesting about going home to Gibeah? Gibeah is where all this trouble with Benjamin started in the first place. It was because of the men of Gibeah that the concubine was originally killed, the whole reason for having this war. That's an amazing thing. I mean, it's like coming all the way back around to where everything started. It was a bad night in Gibeah that resulted in the concubine's death, that resulted in the near annihilation of a tribe in Israel, that eventually gets reconciled by the mercy of the other tribes in Israel for Benjamin, and results eventually in the birth of Saul, born in the very city where the concubine died. That's a strange turn of events. And I'll tell you something else. The men of Jabesh-Gilead are the ones who are killed to get wives for the other 200 Benjamites. And there's some interesting notes about Jabesh-Gilead. First of all, if you look in 1 Samuel chapter 11, Jabesh-Gilead was threatened by the Ammonites. And Saul, after becoming being anointed king, takes off all night to cross the Jordan River and fight against the Ammonites that had threatened Jabesh-Gilead. That's all in 1 Samuel chapter 11. We'll read just a little of it. Look in verse 1. Then Naash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Naash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Naash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon Israel. Well, what happened then is Jabesh-Gilead notifies Saul of the threat. The Spirit of God comes upon Saul in verse 6. His anger is kindled in verse 6. He takes off all night, meets the men of Jabesh in the next morning, and slays the Ammonites in verse 11. And the Lord wrought salvation in Israel under the leadership of Saul. Interesting. I'll tell you something else that's interesting, and you can see why this happened. At the end of the book of 1 Samuel, Saul dies, and so do some of his sons, in a battle against the Philistines. And when he dies, what happens is that he's hit by the archers and wounded, but he's not dead, and he's really afraid these men are going to come and torture him to death. And so what he does is he tells his armor-bearer to draw a sword and kill him. Well, the armor-bearer won't do that. So Saul took a sword and fell upon it to kill himself so that he would not be able to, so he wouldn't have to endure the torture of the Philistines when they came to get him. He died there, and so did three of his sons and his armor-bearer in 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse 4, 5, and 6. Okay? Now, after the war is over, the Philistines cut off Saul's head, and they strip off his armor and take it to the land of the Philistines in verse 9 of 1 Samuel chapter 31. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. Well, the men of Jabesh-Gilead, in the next verse, put their lives on the line, and they go into the land of the Philistines, valiant men go, and they go all night and take the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, and they come back to Jabesh and burn them. It's a cremation. And then they took the bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. You know what? Basically what happened here is the men of Jabesh-Gilead were repaying a favor to Saul and honoring him for what he had done by putting himself at risk to come and fight against the Ammonites to save Jabesh-Gilead. So at night, their valiant men went and recovered the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons, gave them a cremation, which may seem strange to you, but it's honorable. We were down in Trinidad not that long ago, and the Hindu customs are very prevalent there. We saw a number of cremations. It's kind of a bad sight for somebody from the United States of America that doesn't see this ordinarily, but they just make a big pallet and lay the body on that pallet and burn that, and the whole thing goes down, and all that's left is ashes. But it's an honorable thing among that society. It was a great thing that they did for Saul here, okay, and then buried the bones in or under a tree at Jabesh. Basically repaying a favor. But isn't it interesting how all these things are interrelated and connected? And so Benjamin survives. Saul comes forth. The men of Jabesh-Gilead who were killed to get wives for the men of Benjamin eventually are the very ones who come back to honor Saul by taking him away from the Philistines. And many, many years later, Saul of Tarsus is saved, a Benjamite who becomes really, truly the greatest apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ and the one who wrote so much of the New Testament for us and the apostle of the Gentiles. So very, very interesting story. If you hadn't known it before, you know, we need to know these things because they truly are preserved for us in the words of God for our knowledge and for our understanding. And I pray that this has been a blessing for you. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Amen.